recorded presentation to take. One is the BRT, the second one is the Caltrain, and the last one is the integrated public transport. Of course, under the BRT, we would want to know where the implementation process is and how the NJWG has fitted in that process, and what are the current challenges, and what are the proposed intervention strategies. We are mainly looking at the implementation of all 2010 related projects, so that we will be in a position of understanding where we are. And I also must say that the portfolio committee is going to be undertaking an oversight activity to the host cities and the base camps, so as to ascertain ourselves that from the transport side, there are no challenges. We will start with the presentation, and thereafter we will come back to the issue of the minutes of the previous meeting, and also the report back to the portfolio committee in as far as the issue of the meeting requested by the portfolio committee with the chairperson of the house. There are two members that have apologized. One is Honorable Marke, who missed the flight, and the other one is Honorable Maluleke, who will move out of the meeting and then rejoin the meeting at a particular time. Are there any apologies that I have not announced? Can we have a mover for acceptance of the apology in the second? Honorable Tetsuo, seconded by Honorable Zuma. Can we then move to the presentation in relation to the BRT? In this meeting, we had invited the civil society representation in the NJWG, as well as the taxi industry representation in the NJWG. I don't see the taxi industry. Are they here? Okay. I'm told that they are on their way. So we have the representation from the civil society. Can we then move and have the presentation on the BRC? Thank you. Please.
Good morning, Captain, and all the honorable members. I'm Shiki Manana from the Department of Transport. Now be making the initial presentation on the bus rapid transit system. With me are two people from two of my colleagues from the department. Ms. Kemantra Mani Lau, she's currently responsible for taxi recap, and she will then, after my presentation, come on board and do an update for the honorable members on the National Joint Working Group. Then I've got also Ms. Sophia Maida, who is responsible for rail, particularly Caltrain. He won't be doing any presentation because Mr. Jeff Panameve, okay. He will be coming. He is on his way, and so he will make the presentation on how train. So we'll start first with BRT, and just give a quick update on the NJWG, and then we'll move to how train.
Okay. Can we recognize the hand from the previous time?
The chair, I wonder if it is possible if we keep in touch with other presentations so that there is a chance of people being here when it is that they are more than one person for the presentation.
The challenge that we have is that the person who has also to present is saying one of the presenters is not here. They knew that the meeting starts at 9. So if they are not here. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Okay, we were asked to come and give a progress with regard to the other in relation to 2010. And upfront, I'm also going to think that we had actually asked Ms. Bufana Madikizela, who's in the department, to come and join us because she is responsible for 2010 projects and she would have more information and knowledge on what's happening on the ground within the whole city. But then there's another 2010 meeting that she had to be attending today, and that's why she's not here. So if there may be specific issues that are 2010, what we will do is we'll take them and then go back to the department and a formal response, written response will then be sent to the chairperson.
Before you proceed, can I get what you are saying clearly? The person responsible for 2010 in the department is not here. So the parliament will not get the information that is needed from that part of the presentation because that person is not here.
We will try and give you in relation for how train. I think it will be a comprehensive presentation of what is happening because 2010 issues are managed on how train. Within the department, there are different components responsible for different issues, and so for all 2010 projects are residing outside of the public transport branch. There may be issues around 2010 that are within the public transport branch, and that relates to the intercity, interprovincial transport services. And Samantha will try and just give you a quick update on taxis, but then even and bus as well. But then when it comes to what is happening within the city, like intra city transport arrangements and services, Lusanda would have been the most appropriate person to give that update. What I will touch on BRT is just indicate that those cities that are rolling out BRT, where they are with 2010 processes in relation to BRT.
So are we going to get the integrated public transport presentation?
I try to cover those issues, but not from a 2010 perspective, because Lusanda would have been the most appropriate person to cover that.
To me, that is disregard of what the portfolio committee wanted from the department. We can't sit down and prepare our own program and invite the department to give us a presentation on what we want to do as parliament. And then the department decides what type of information it's going to give us. On top of our invitation, we are saying we want you as a department to come and present to us the implementation of all 2010 related projects. And then as subheading, we say BRT, we say Gautrain, we say integrated public transport. If Lusanda was to die, the whole country would come to a standstill in relation to 2010 project. Is that what you are saying to us? Because I believe that if I were to drop down now, this committee would still continue and function.
She does have a team in the department. She's not the only one. There are people supporting her.
Who is that? Why then is there no one standing in for her? Because we want that information. We don't want to see Lusanda. We don't care who comes, but we want the information. Whether it is Lusanda or Asanda or whoever, we want the information.
No, I hear you, Chairperson. I must just apologize on behalf of the department that the appropriate person is not here. She was informed, and we were just informed that there's another 2010 meeting today that she has to be at. So, yeah.
So Parliament had to be disregarded. The highest decision-making structure in the country had to be disregarded. Is that the attitude in the department?
I don't think that is the intention. As I said, we must apologize profusely, and we'll inform the DG of this event and this happening, and that he should be in touch with you about this letter.
A letter will be written from my office to the DG and the minister regarding this matter. Thank you. Continue.
So as I said earlier on, Chairperson, I'll mainly cover two areas, a progress within the 4CC, as well as the way forward. Just to remind honourable members that the department is currently implementing the public transport strategy, and the strategy was approved by Cabinet in 2007. And within the short term, as part of phase one, we basically are looking at the 4 cities that are currently implementing integrated public transport networks, or BRTs. And so those are Johannesburg, Cape Town, and Tshwane. And then you also have Nelson Mandela doing a partial BRT as part of their citywide network. And the aim and the vision is that all integrated networks and BRT should include existing directly affected operators and labor and contract as per the National Land Transfer Act. And other cities, I will come back and also just give a sense, most of them are still at a planning stage towards making sure that they start to implement their integrated public transport network. We also want to indicate up front that there needs to be more interaction between the cities and Plaza, and currently we're looking into coming up with a housing structure, I think also the community will be aware that in line with the National Land Transport Act, it calls for intermodal planning policies to be established at the SMC level. And so we are seeking to push that district towards the 4 cities really, as I indicated, is Johannesburg, Cape Town, and Nelson Mandela and Tshwane. And then I'll also then just use a one slide explaining where what city is, if you look at that, their famous processes. I will now turn what each of the cities is going to give a quick overview of what they're doing. We'll start with the city of Joburg. As you may all know, the city of Joburg, the ERC system is called Rehabaya. And so far, the city has basically undertaken an assessment of the system of the class of service. And basically, they have received a positive response from commuters and the general public. And I think the service that's been offered is really excellent in many ways. It is the
and that there will be a handover and transition phase
it's not the current operating company to the new company that will be established. And that in general, since when I stated that the application framework agreement was signed, we basically set out how operators who are affected will become beneficiaries and shareholders within the new bus company. There is some agreement on the content of the bus operating contract, which basically sets out how the company will operate the services, that the DP will be required, and that even within the contract, there are innovative structures like penalties if drivers are not driving safely or are not arriving on time, or the buses are not maintained and cleaned regularly. And then that also there are some issues that are still under negotiation, and once all those issues have been agreed on, a final agreement will then be signed. And the city is also discussing the negotiation team of affected operators almost like a smooth transition and handover period once that agreement has been signed. Okay. With regard to the FOCA World Cup, basically the city is working very hard to make sure that they are ready and the indication that they will be able to transport with about 30,000 spectators, both in its cap and FOCA City on Wednesday. And even on that next day, the corridor from Soweto Street and Istanbul will continue to operate. And that currently they are working very hard to make sure that the two stations and the capacity and stadium are completed. And that 53 buses will be utilized for this, especially for the next day. And that, as I said earlier on, that the other corridors for moving people on that next day will continue to be operational as well. These are just a few challenges that the city are currently dealing with. Basically, the first one is making sure that every affected operator is part of the process. And there have been certain processes in place, like certain applications have been interacting with the city of Joburg to make sure that they also come on board. And I think the city has indicated that issues around enforcement and security of the system are also critical. There have been death threats to some of the members or affected operators who have decided to be part of the system. And some have actually, not only death threats, but some have actually been shot. And so issues around enforcement and non-enforcement are still a challenge that we even need to be at work. And then issues around the enabling environment to ensure the success of the system, engaging the community and mobilizing the community in support of public transport is also still very important. And that currently one other challenge is really the funds to make sure that phase one, the infrastructure, is complete. Moving to the is nearing completion, and then discuss the option to make a contract with the company representing the innovative industry. Actually, will be concluded in time for World Cup, and using basically the aim is that some of that infrastructure, especially around Australia, the airport, and the CBD, will actually be used for 2010 World Cup. Two, and I also think the CC is just indicating, because the last time I was here, I indicated to the portfolio committee about the constraints within the CC, and I think they're just indicating here that they are filling up to make sure that they've got capacity. They have been allocated additional funding to basically make sure that they're able to fully implement their phase 1A. And that, as well as construction tenders, have been awarded to different for about 1 billion or so. And then also another tender that's been awarded is around the first system and control center. And control center. With regard to engagement with the taxi industry, engagement has been with 8 taxi associations and 2 bus companies that are affected, and that a comprehensive compensation model has been developed by the CC to look into how the taxi industry can be brought in without being made worse off. Since November 2009, I think most of the work that the CC has been engaged in has really been focusing more on 2010 World Cup services, and therefore even the negotiations have been with the taxi industry around how they would then get involved within the 2010 World Cup services. Consultations and negotiations will be done after review of the system plan and business plan is completed in May. This is just a picture of the station at the Cape Town International Airport. Just to indicate that the station will be utilized as well. With regard to challenges that they have indicated, some of the issues that they've put here are really more operational, like turn around a directive from SAR, whether that should be payable for dedicated VRT infrastructure, and that also funding. You will also notice, as I continue to present, the funding is cut across all the 40 just to make sure that they are able to fully implement their phase 1A. And we get a continuous engagement with National Treasury on that we need to have a sustained funding source from the public transport infrastructure plan. And that the first operation of phase 1A Chapter 7 as soon as possible after the World Cup to ensure that they utilize the infrastructure that has been built. And that they are also investigating ways to minimize and deal with expected operating deficits from phase 1A. Nelson Mandela, within Nelson Mandela, I think they have decided to go a different route. And I think their strategy focuses more on transforming the taxi industry first before fully implementing the VRT and the city-wide network. And currently, there have been negotiations and engagement with the taxi industry, and that, as I said, the focus is more to transform them for a period of 3 to 5 years and then move towards full integration into a city-wide network. The city has established 5 cooperatives with the taxi industry, and that what they want to do for 2010 is to actually pilot two or so of the cooperatives to provide World Cup services using 25 buses for the World Cup. And really, they are continuing basically with costing the proposal that the taxi industry has put on the table, one of basically transforming them. And the transformation really involves, within the cooperative, a contract being signed by the cooperative with the municipality, and where they then are subjected to certain contract requirements of making sure that the buses arrive on time and schedule. program, and it also integrates ticketing with other bus operations. In terms of the challenges that we currently have, in this slide, I think in this slide I've tried to summarize them, and really it's the whole issue around the no loss of profit promise or guarantee that the department or government has made around the inclusion of the taxi industry. So basically they have put on the table as an industry that they would be requiring about 8,000 rand per month per vehicle, and therefore that's a guarantee that we need to look into. We have said to them they need to trust it fully for all, for basically the whole industry. And for them to have confidence about, they would have done proper verification to check if this is the correct amount or not. And basically comparing what they have put on the table and what's also coming from other people, it's really coming around the same cost of around 8,000 rand or 9,000 rand on average. Then the book indicates that they require guidelines to how they should be bringing in operators into the BRC chain. And they're also proposing an interim contract, as I said, of more in a transitional phase of transforming the industry before entering into a 3-year negotiation contract. And there may be implications in relation to the NRCA, and it's a letter that was brought to the department that you need to look at and see whether that can be done. And basically, it's also indicated to them that they need to fast track dedicated project team. Good planning. I will not go into much discussion because I'm also really off time. But that slide basically just gives you a sense of where funding is with regard to putting up their BRC roadways as well as stations. And then currently, their station design, their concept has been launched, infrastructure design, a team has been appointed, and that they've been in discussions with us with regard to the full network design, and that they're currently also working around their financial plan and model development, and they've also developed an integrated marketing and communication strategy. With regard to what they have done with liaising with or engaging with the public transport industry, they have held meetings with the taxi council and bus operators and commuters, and that they're planning a BRC stakeholder summit in March, April this year, and that the currently there's some internal restructuring processes that the transportation unit within the planning municipality is undergoing. And basically, we've also then done a roadmap for ITS and developed a digital specification. With regard to the 20 and World Cup 2010, some of the roads that are being currently contracted for BRC will be used for 2010. They are also looking at using the BRC stations at Magopani, as well as the CF Malan Drive, and that they'll also be utilizing other computer elements of the BRC network for the 2010. They have not ordered buses yet. They will be using the current CT, I think, municipality buses for 2010. Progress with other cities, this just gives a sense of where the other remaining eight cities are, and that Sweden with rural districts will be starting to do a network.
Sorry, Mona, there is also a slight the one that has
that one.
Thank you. Here on one that is being sorted out.
Then apply to current as well as future projects. we always saw, and I think this was a thing as well with all the members for the NAWG, that NAWG would not replace the need for local level business negotiations and organization between an affected person. It was then agreed during the time where NAWG was launched that the DRP subcommittee would be prioritized over the other committees and that it would report back to the minister within 3 months of the meeting. But we have not voted, and I think Samantha will report to the committee why they have not made any much progress. But currently, what just to indicate that what we would like to see happen as soon as possible is really the need to drive and focus the NAWG processes to finally set up a mechanism for operators of companies and legal entities. And I think already we've seen Nelson Mandela and it's happening, and that could really happen in other cities as well. And basically, we would like to see the restructuring of the local taxi operations along more profitable lines, and then we would also participate in government public transport contracting opportunities, as well as supporting daily train opportunities and any other ventures that we do across. And basically the NDWG would have looked into metaphors.
Okay, thank you.
One of the key challenges that currently is an issue that we need to move on has to do with really making sure that there are linkages as we roll out the RP with the MLTA and of the National Public Transport Regulator. I know the transition, this was not yet an issue that we were asked to cover, but the state that maybe might be bringing to your attention as well. And that we see that the NLPA is an instrument that really pushes for integration to happen, and I think this is where integrated public transport also comes in. The NLPA places integration across two pillars. The first one is really...
Sorry, Mana. Before you use the acronym, so you know, can you explain what the whole system of the
entity? The NLTA stands for National Land Transport Act. And the ITPN stands for Integrated Public Transport Network. And then I think BRT stands for the Transport System. As I indicated, two ways that we saw through the NLPA integration taking place was through the establishment of the intermodal planning committees that are supposed to be established at a municipal level. And these basically would deal with issues around integrated transport plan as well as complementary operational plans that BRT called for. The second level would have been cities taking the responsibility for integrating all public transport in their area under a single locus of accountability, which then will look at issues about planning, funding, as well as regulatory powers and functions. And so one of the issues that the department is currently looking at is to urgently drive the assignment of the planning, the funding, and the regulatory functions to a local level where capacity exists. There is that recognition that certain municipalities may not have that capacity, and so those that are able to, we must make sure that we move with speed. And that a viability exercise must be undertaken to basically look at how this can be done in a quick way. And that in the process as well, we must then start to look at how we start capacitating those municipalities who do not have capacity in the future to take on responsibility of planning and funding and regulating public transport at their local level. Another issue that we have also are looking into is really the implementation of the National Transport Regulator to make sure that we enhance the delivery of public transport services. In terms of the way forward, two methods that I will look at. Implementation challenges across the 4 cities that we basically are seeing that need to be addressed, and then I'll just give some context with regard to the way forward. I think honourable members will have had me repeatedly saying challenges from one city to another, really the issue of funding. And within the department, we have been engaging with the National Assembly to say that the critical thing that we really would like to get commitment from the National Treasury is the provision of ongoing funding to improve our public transport system, if possible, for the next 10 to 15 years. Because we recognize that public transport will not just be transformed within a 5-year period. We need sustained funding to make sure that we really meet the objectives of what the public transport strategy has looked into. And delays are incurred as well in the implementation of the BRT because to a large extent there's been slow national engagement and negotiations with the taxi industry. And I think that has really delayed. In some of the cities, they have not moved to speed because they're still engaging with the industry. Some of them are still negotiating with the taxi industry as well. We recognize that there's a need to actually fast track engagement with Samoa, because in some of the cities the bus industry is affected, and so we will be doing that as soon as possible. But I think the DP actually started to do that already with Samoa.
What is Samoa?
South African Bus Operators Association. Yeah. Then one method role that cuts across the cities is really in comparison, for example, to Gautrain, I don't know how many people we have, includes about 300 or more, who are fully dedicated to Gautrain projects. We don't find a similar model in our city. And we've been pushing that we need to get that up and running. We need to have dedicated project teams who are solely, whose responsibility is solely to make sure that they implement integrated public transport projects. We also identified the need that, you know, exists currently, that Plaza is currently, you know, has developed their own rail plan, but there's no integration that's happening in terms of planning, as well as the provision of public transport at the local level. And so, MINDEC has actually mandated the department to look into this matter and come up with a report back to them in 6 months' time. So it's an issue that we currently are looking at. On the way forward, just want to indicate just a few things. Just to the committee that an interdepartmental forum has been established under the leadership of the Deputy Minister. And basically this came about as a result of a request from the municipalities, from the mayor, from the NLC, as well as the Department of Trade and Industry and National Treasury. They then wrote to the minister and said, look, we need to meet with regard to issues that are on the ground that are really delaying the implementation of the BRT. And basically, some of the things that were put on the table, no decisions have been made as yet, but these are the issues that the interdepartmental forum will start to address. And I should also just indicate that there is an understanding that yes, we have met as government, but that we need to bring on board the public, the civil society, as well as the taxi industry. And so the first meeting was really to put those issues on the table and see how, as government, we then agree on how we should keep dealing with them. Because some of them lie within the different departments. They lie within the Department of Transport, others in DCI, and others in National Treasury. And then the department will also embark on roadshows to the city to basically make sure that we bring everybody on board as soon as possible. Those that are lagging behind, to get a sense of why they're lagging behind and why they're not moving. And in moving forward, it was also then felt that CPRX need to really focus on integrated public transport implementation. CPRX before focused more on World Cup 2010 projects. And so in moving forward, we really need to make sure that we align CPRX. CPRX stands for the Public Transport Infrastructure Fund, Systems Fund. And so it's now important that we align that grant together with the IRPC and implementation. this is also aligning the different programs that the department has, like the testing recap. It has to be now has to be aligned with the rollout of public transport networks. Together with the bus subsidy processes, the public transport operations one, that is where work is starting to make sure that there is alignment between all these department programs with rolling out integrated public transport. But I think there is also that recognition that mass communication is still very, very important to inform stakeholders about what government is doing to transform public transport. Enforcement is also an issue that needs to be looked into. And lastly, the department has also recognized that we need to tackle the issue around capacity within provinces as well as municipalities. And a number of strategies are being explored around secondment, training, and really project-based mentoring led by international and local experts to make sure that we develop a sustained capacity within provinces and municipalities. I think that's the end.
Thank you. Is there an additional presentation from the department? Can we take that? I can't.
There's another slide missing as well.
Okay. Can we also be mindful of time? We have to vacate to this committee room by 1:15.
held a second meeting on the 14th of July to finalize the terms of reference, and the purpose of the terms of reference is to actually guide these subcommittees. Starting with the tax recapitalization program and the tax subsidy, that subcommittee will finalize legalization of semi-legal taxi operators, draft a framework and implementation plan for the taxi industry, develop a fair and tariff policy, develop ownership models, consult various stakeholders on the implementation of the regulation framework which has already been approved by Cabinet, and to engage national trade union on the proposed subsidy framework. The next subcommittee, the BRCIRCCN, that's the TV school, the presentation to the discussion, it was to finalize an actual framework that will guide authorities on implementation IRCCN, and the BRC is part of one component of the IRCCN. To coordinate implementation issues related to BRC, to regularly monitor the BRC progress across 3 spheres of government, and to agree on a national framework to guide the inclusion of incumbent operators and workers into the BRC. Enterprise development is to identify and suggest triple BE opportunities in the transport sector, devise strategies to increase investment in existing entities, design a model for corporatization of the industry, liaise with financial institutions on funding models appropriate for the sector, and advise the national forum on the best possible enterprise development model. Legislation, licensing, regulation, and enforcement. This subcommittee will develop a strategic framework for the implementation of the turnaround strategy, which was also adopted by Cabinet in February 2009. Identify critical and strategic issues affecting issuance of operating licenses. Develop a strategic framework for the implementation of the National Land Transport Act. The Communication and Stakeholder Engagement Subcommittee is actually an overarching committee. It's a committee which will develop strategic framework for communication of progress by each subcommittee. Identify critical, strategic, and technical questions for communication purposes. Identify and recommend communication and stakeholder engagement strategies, tools, and approaches. Create a platform for engagement between the national working groups and the stakeholders and communities. To mobilize support for the integrated rapid public transport network policy from the affected stakeholders and from the general public. Okay. We have, since establishment of the structure, development of the terms of reference, we've had many meetings between government and the taxi industry, and the parties agreed to bring on members of civil society, and an MOA was developed. The MOA basically guided all activities of the National Joint Working Group. It has been signed by 3 parties, a 4th party, if you can call it, that was actually in addition, which was all the MECs for transport, and that part of the MOA has gone up in time. We also have talent. The current one with the NJWG, and I think one of the reasons we're sitting here today is that we actually haven't moved. In our previous mandatory meeting, we took a decision that each party will provide names for its representation within the subcommittee. Because the subcommittee is the working team, no work could actually proceed because we have not received the name for representation within the taxi industry, and with reason being that Francesco has actually told us that they're busy with elections, and it didn't seem feasible to appoint people who would support, would be part of the work group for a period of 1 to 3 months. And they requested that we rather wait for the election to be over so they can give us a person who would be a permanent structure, a person representing them on a permanent level, so that we don't have disruption to the process. Our second challenge is that we in the department do not have an allocation for this group. We need funding to proceed, we need funding to do research, we need funding to meet. However, we try to balance this within our input allocation and the projects within the department to see where each subcommittee could actually find this.
Thank you. The last presentation.
Currently, this is the largest greenfield rail infrastructure project in the world, and it's driving integration and co-trans and existing public transport. And so I think this is most of the best CPTs we've designed in the world in 2007. We all know the network, 80 kilometers of fuel, railway line, 10 stations, 15 kilometers of tunnel, and 205 bridges. If one looks at OCD1, just look at Johannesburg Park Station, underground to Rosebank, underground to Stanton, underground to Marlborough, and then at grade level to Midland, Turin, Victoria, and Hatfield, and then heading to the airport, Marlborough, Rosefield, and then New Filling, and then Stanton Street, or Campbell, and then internationally. Again, just to emphasize, this project really has three sets of goals. The first is to stimulate economic growth, local and foreign investment, new development and job creation. And the red block, restructuring urban areas, reducing travel distances, line of sight, improving city accessibility. And the green block, for both public transport, economy and broad-based rapid public development, tourism, and business development. So these are the KPIs that we have to adhere to. Just to have a brief discussion on CoTrain and the FIFA 2010 Soccer World Cup. CoTrain was announced by the Premier in the opening of the legislature in January of 2000 as one of the 10 blue eyes projects. The country, South Africa, was awarded the FIFA World Cup in April 2004, so 4 years later the World Cup was given to the. We were never a specific Soccer World Cup project. But we structured the deal so that we broke up the completion of the train into two segments. Completion for phase one, the link between the Oakhamwe and the airport in Stanton. Phase one, and that was contractually the 27th of June 2010, and then for the full system, 9 months later, the 27th of March 2010. But it was always stated that it would be desirable to have the Oakhamwe International Airport links to stand and open for the Soccer World Cup. We made a threat during the latter part of 2009. Ocala was approached by the province to determine if the cost, what would be the cost to accelerate the completion date 1 month to the 27th of May. The price quoted by Ocala was 1.3 billion rand. In October, the Premier, Obiani, stated publicly that the province has no intention of paying extra money. And that he would not go to Treasury and ask for money because we have a problem as much other testing needs, special development needs. And quite interesting, the same 2 days later, Jeffrey Nurse, Conan came out and said exactly the same, that the National national government does not support spending more money on the train. So that was really the end of that plan. We then decided to go out on the bus tender for bus services to transport the people from the airport to Stanford. And we sat down with the National Department of Transport. I'll talk about that a little bit later. That tender has been done. We received 50 bids. We're in the process of awarding that tender. But then Rombala came with a proposal to deliver a reduced scope service between Oakham and Stanford in time for the Soccer World Cup. Condition that the product approves the reduced scope, and we've been negotiating the deadly agreement for that. Very importantly, there's a very specific clause in it that says this is a zero cost to the province now and in the future. So, obviously, we said in the press that the contract is back, and I'm waiting at the moment for approval by my political committee to sign the end of the agreement. But we're very distinct construction. And if I can talk about integration with other public transport modes, this is going from a theoretical structure into what are we doing practically. Current planning is viewed as a flagship public transport project of national significance. Integration into the public transport system will stretch the potential market to enhance that. This is very important. We are trying to increase the market share in public transport and make public transport a mode of choice, not a mode of force. Integration will enable the co-train to be a catalyst for the transformation and restructuring of the public transport system. On a strategic transport level, there is urban restructuring and increased balancing private and public transport usage. We have had an explosion in co-train around development around the station. There's really been that. We are actually amazed at the amount of infrastructure development that has happened. On an operational level, physical network and fair integration is one of our chief aims. We, on the instruction of the National Minister of Transport, we established the Co-Train Public Transport Integration Committee, which I chair, and what is nice about this, all the transport role players from government's perspective is in the Department of Transport, the Co-Train Department of Transport and Roads, CRASA, COJ, City of Tshwane, we meet every 6 weeks, and we are looking at co-train as a mass people mover, what would that entail, at station interchanges, co-train network design, co-train integration portion, and the 2010 Soccer World Cup. And stuff that may arrive from time to time, such as the freeway improvement scheme. What we're trying to do with the train, the local spatial development framework, for the areas around the station that have been amended by municipalities, we designed a 5-kilometer station development plan, and that is used as a basis for land use change applications that come into the local authorities. Restructuring of the urban environment to become more sustainable, facilitate densification, filling around the station, attracting desired types of land use to the station, and then enabling greater accessibility to co-train by enabling passengers to walk to and from the station. One talks about the BRT. The BRT runs into our station, the park, runs over our station, goes back, and we get off the BRT, and we've got one flight of stairs coming into the co-train station. And the BRT runs into our station, and there's a public transport interchange, you know, that's built on top of our station, taxis, buses, BRTs, meter taxis, are all there in the training level. Integration with private stations, what we've done here is that in Roseville, we are building the station on top of the SRTC station, so if you would be across, you would then walk either up or down the stairs, you know, from the train into the private station. Axial, there is a link, or whether you feel a link between the RTF train station of the Gaza, Co-Train, Pretoria, in Park, joint development of the Pretoria station precinct, station convenient interface between the two stations at the Janus and Park, and then the integration station of those. Integration of the city of around the Soccer World Cup buses, the request for proposal. We estimated there would be about 50,000 bus coaches and minibus taxi trips per day taking place in Beijing during the busiest 2 weeks of the 2010 FIFA World Cup. I think this is again a whole issue around cooperation. We wanted to get out of bus tender to go from Hoa Kongo to Stanford. We said I'm with National DOT and they said no. Can't we also do buses running from to Westgate, from Owen Pumble to Swanee, from Nigeria to Sandton, and from Nigeria to Swanee. So we've gone out on a tender for all these routes. Operational period would be from the 4th of June to the 14th of July. And I think what is great about this tender is that the first tender without subsidy that's gone out, the public transport tender, not be subsidized at all. We've asked for 50%. Participation. The tenders we've got are going to end up by being 70-80% participation. This is just a last thing that, like the passengers, we expect during the position days of the Soccer World Cup. The routes, as I said, are those big routes. And what we've done in the tender is that if we do find them in the understanding that the competition needs to go the same system, we just plug that one contract out. So we won't run buses at one number to Santa, but the buses will run Westgate, Swanee. This is just a map showing what we envisage running from the airport to Santa, from Syria, Santa to Swanee, to the different houses there, and then the hotel. So this will operate between the five regional hubs. What's the Syria airport, Joburg CBD, the transport will be trained, Stanton, and the Swanee CBD. All vehicles must conform to the Traffic Act. They shouldn't be older than 5 years, although they can't hold on that. Negative fares are provided for the request for proposals. No financial support from any organ of state. Fair revenue should cover all costs associated. What they put into the contract is that the contractors must tender to give us money back, and that money will then be for social development within the country. Contractors will be responsible for booking ticket vending, their collection, no cash will be handed on the vehicle, and all of that. And this is just the timetable. I had a meeting yesterday, we've got it down to 3 tenders, and we're going to the tender committee. If you allow me 2 minutes, I'd just like to run through just to show you that we are actually working. This is the train. Therefore, we have 64 trains operating at the moment. This is the inside of the cab, inside of the train. Bus feeder systems. This is our buses that will be launched. We have 125 buses. This is our automatic fare collection at the airport. These are the automatic fare gates that will be the operational box station, which is going into the station, working underground on the concourse level, Rose Bank, which is underground underneath Oxford Street. So that's where the DRT will run the top. These are the escalators going up to the level Sandton station, which we're working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at the moment, to finish this for the soccer. And we're working 80-story station below the ground level. The first train last Friday, now Friday, a week ago, the first train is running now from Sandton to Austria. As I said, this is in the tunnel, the emergency shaft. Every kilometer we have an emergency shaft. We can do Marlboro Portal, this is our station in Marlboro. The Alex, the train depot, this is our control center. This is where we will control the safety of the train and the safety of the passengers. There's a special desk for the Southern Police Services that can monitor. We have 700 total vision. This is our vehicle, our train simulator. So you see there's two. So we train our train drivers first to go to the simulator before they crash our train. This is just a train in the workshop. The train station, this is the Dr. Deesway development. It's 250,000 square meter development. Developed by Old Mutual. Train forms a part of that development. Midland Station, Centurion Station, giving out people on a micro trip. Viaduct, opens on Costa Avenue. Viaduct opens Jean Avenue. Victoria Station, this is next to the Metro Rail Station. Axel Station, this is the completion of the parking garage. Airport link is right back to the airport. Road fuel station, and this is the link into the airport. You may have seen the train parked there from Christmas. We have the station platform there. This is a photograph of the island. I don't know if I should show this, but every time I show it, I think it may work. If you do a project with Ryan, you follow the enthusiasm, promises, and programs, disillusionment, and panic. On there yet, then we have answer the guilty, punishment of the innocent, which is going to be me, and rewards for those that are nothing to do. It's actually to say that whatever it is that he's the same, will be evenly distributed.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I will now give an opportunity for members to ask questions or comments, and also for the representatives of the taxi industry and the taxi society to make comments.
Wondering whether the models have been sort of looked at from each city, and sort of there's a certain amount of merging of these models to ensure we get the right model, because this committee will know, and everybody else will know out there, that every year we do, or we don't lose, but we can't pay the subsidies over to these bus companies. Now, these are new bus companies that are coming into operation, and whether we like it or not, the taxis also claim that they might have a certain amount of subsidization that needs to gain, because they are after all public transport. So I'm just asking the question whether in fact we we could come together and share examples and models that would be able to come up with something that will be satisfactory to all parties. Because we cannot continue just running out of money every year trying to subsidize operators, when in fact, clearly the way to go would be to subsidize the commuters, certainly getting in and using it. And I'd like to know whether, in fact, there's been any hard looking at that aspect of it in terms of some of the issues. The other question, madam, that I'd like to use here is whether, in terms of the negotiation process that is taking place in the BRT model, that the challenges that we're shown to us are going to be realized effectively in time. And if not, what is happiness really? We are aware that those things are operating. We are aware that rear fire is going, and that there are obviously taxi services that are affected by it. I think we were indicated at the last meeting there was about 750 odd taxis that would actually now be withdrawn from service. And my question is whether in fact those taxi services are still continuing, or are they running in parallel, or if there's any flashes of incident of those services, and if not, what's been done to do it. Because collectively, I believe that there might be an easier way than to have to wait for Santaco to come up with the representation when you're dealing with those taxi faces on the coal face. It's really those people that are impacted, not Santaco, it's the people that are operating on the ground that have been withdrawn that we need to deal with. And I think that's important, that whether we are in fact, you know, in an operational stage with them at this stage or other, and with other needs within the NJ working group can come later. Can I ask something on Caltrain? That should be our key start. Mr. Van der Merwe will be very familiar with this because I've asked him, I think now, 3-4 times. And I don't know whether he's actually in contempt of Parliament when I say this. But I requested, and I have notes here on the 28th of August for the third time, whether this committee could be provided with the shareholding and all the structuring of every company, the 13 companies that form the Bombardier and the BTP group with Murray Rock. Now, within 2 days, you indicate that you will send it and provide it to the chair. Now, maybe the chair got it, but we never got it. And I'm still very interested to know who these people are that are shareholders in this particular company, so that we, as parliamentarians, can actually look at this receipt and determine whether there's any conflict of interest. I would appreciate, Madam Chair, that we get that document. Not tomorrow, today, if it is at all possible. Because this is clearly now the third time I've asked this, and still we must get what we asked. The second question to Mr. Van der Merwe relates to the cycle. At the last meeting, we indicated that we were now the budget to be scaled down from 250 buses to 125 buses. These buses are larger. That was the reasoning, which I understand fully. But those buses were going to be integrated into the services of the city, so that those routes are going to be determined and they're going to be looked at. Hopefully, again, not clash with what's taking place in the book of my colleagues in the RTM process. And I just want to establish now whether that is the case in question, and whether these buses that you tendered for on trade, whatever it was, for the ORT Phantom route are part of those buses, and we're not getting another whole load of buses now outside of this contract, because the contract designed as well was to provide those buses. And finally, irrespective of your statement that you made here, saying that you hold no claim towards the spurious claims of the consultant here. This is obviously going to go through a legal process, because you're talking about 10 billion. This is the quoted figure that was given in respect of additional claims that could come about as a result of changing of plans, movements, routes, etc. And I would like to know some more information about that. If the issue which was raised in the report by the consultant and the contractor that they are now having to go into the area of Centurion, where we know, and everybody was aware of it, because this portfolio committee under the previous chairperson actually went to Centurion to look at the implications of the Dolomite sinkhole and the route for the viaduct, which was a variant on the original cutting floor, and why it didn't move. We, as this committee, said, please go and investigate and look at the route that was taken along the current metro rail route, which is on the watershed of the Dolomite, and it would also then act as a fully integrated service between metro rail and Gauteng. Now we've got a viaduct which is going off that particular metro rail route into the middle of Centurion, which you're now going to have to link up with some bus service for people to get from the city onto metro rail and from the northern areas of Pretoria off metro rail onto Gauteng. Now that report, I can give it to you, Madam Chair. It was done by Portfolio Committee. We actually went there as an investigative team. We sat there, we talked to the people that were very concerned about that, and it was a letter put into the variant as a variant to the particular project, and it's been ignored. And yet, today, we read in the paper yesterday that this is part of the claim, because they're now pouring concrete down these damn holes, and it's disappearing into the sinkhole. And now there's an extra cost associated with that, which they're not aware of in terms of the variant. I think we need to have some answers, truthful answers because those were concerns that the public raised with us, that we went and looked at and brought back and gave to Funder Merva to investigate, and the department particularly, I think. I'm going to stop there, because I know, more importantly, is we all want to see people being able to get off the plane, come into visit our country for the World Cup, and to get onto a process which will allow them to get to Sandton and back to Houston without having to run a private service. And that is the news that we want to hear, that will happen. But this could be the spoke in the wheel, this whole aspect of the so-called serious claim for 10 billion. Because if the contractor says, if you're not going to cut, if you're going to go to court, and you're not going to pay over this extra money, this claim, which they may or may not have merit for outside of the package deal, they could stop anything happening. I don't want to say they could hold it as ransom, but certainly they could certainly prevent something happening very quickly. And I'd like to have some clarity on that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Honourable
Douglas.
Thank you,
Madam
Chair. I'd like to appreciate the presentation and by the participant representative. The Honourable Member has already covered some of my questions, but on slide 4, the Department mentioned some challenges which they are facing on the Oxford route. I'll need some clarity on these challenges because they are not detailed here. One other thing, the problem with the funding on the NJWJ. What the department is doing about this to prevent some disruptions during the 2010 Soccer World Cup. Then another question is the control of abnormal loads on our roads during the 2010 World Cup. How are they going to manage that? Because we have abnormal trucks every day on our roads. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Sabat.
Chairperson, I just wanted clarity on the terms of the contract in the earlier presentation. That's one, but two. Oh, sorry. My rural village is white, doesn't have. Yeah, I wanted clarity on the terms of the contract from the BRT presentation. And secondly, the 80,000 rand per month that is being quoted here, is that going to be running throughout the contract period?
Eight thousand. Functionality for the national tribal income. It is because of funding and the level of funding the project that would be identified as the stakeholders. Or it is because the stakeholders are not ready to come to the forum and participate. Because to me, it is not clear. Why the forum is not meeting so much. If the key challenge is the participation of stakeholders or participation of some key stakeholders, I see this forum, you know, as a negotiating forum, a forum that can take decisions or negotiate that topic. Unavailability of some stakeholders should not really stop the negotiations to continue. To me, there are two processes. First, what are the key things that are put on the table to be negotiated and to be agreed upon? And I would want to see a process where the issues are identified and are identified and there are proposals on the table. And those proposals will be agreed upon by all stakeholders. I would really want to see a process where meetings are seated to look at what is being negotiated and who puts what on the table and who says what should be the major agreement. And you know, your proposals can be submitted whether you are in the meeting or not in the meeting, so that the process continues. It's not stopping. That's the first issue. The second issue is around the subcommittees themselves, that whether have the project in each subcommittee been identified. What are those projects that have been identified in each subcommittee, and what would be the budget for the implementation of those projects? Have you have identified the project? Have you costed the project? Have you approached the funding agencies? Where is the fund going to come from? Is that work been done? You know, even before there are agreements, so that agreements would be agreements on things that are on the table. And to me, it's, you know, the non-movement on the NJ thing, you know, it appears to be very technical, really, not really stopping the negotiations. To me, the negotiations must continue.
Thank you, Chair. For me, my first question would be, what are the objectives of BRT? Are they yielding results in terms of the first phase? Two, Chair, we must all admit that tech industry developed the current lucrative routes that are targeted by BRT at exorbitant cost and sacrifice. So my question will then be following up. Who actually stands to benefit in the current value chain? Again, chapter 6. I would want to know whether BRT process, is it profoundly consultative or has it been profoundly consultative? And if so, why do we hear from time to time current threats by taxi operators in terms of strikes? The other one, just out of curiosity, I would want to know from the department whether there is a relation between BRT and taxi recap. Because in the normal scheme of things, you would then expect BRT to augment the first project being taxi recap. Because taxi recap was the first element of government in partnering with taxi industry. And again, as a follow-up on the same matter, I would also want to know why taxi recap is not part of IRPT. In terms of the NJWG, I would want to know from the department whether other associations are already on board while they are still awaiting the Santago submission. Thanks, Chair.
There are questions that I will respond to before I go to the department so that I give a background to certain issues. Way back when the Minister of Transport was the Honorable Dunao, government approached the taxi industry based on difficulties in negotiating with the taxi industry. And government motivated that it is difficult to take you on board, it is difficult to negotiate with the taxi industry, you are fragmented. We are proposing that you form one national body that would represent you in all the negotiations with government. That process was workshopped with all the associations in South Africa. And an agreement was reached that the taxi industry, all the associations are forming one association called the South African National Taxi Council. Now, I am explaining that because from my side, I am observing the trend of agreeing on how to negotiate, and then immediately after that, that agreement is violated. I'm observing the same with the National Joint Working Group, where the National Joint Working Group is agreed upon as a structure that would negotiate and put forward all the proposals from the government, all the proposals from the taxi industry, and all the proposals from the civil society for them to be processed, and then communication will go down. I think this is not the first time we are having such a structure. We reached an agreement of how this country was going to move forward through CODESA. And when we had CODESA, there was
no situation where each city would negotiate when there is CODESA negotiating. Mm. We had the presence of all political parties in all corners of South Africa, but we agreed as a country that the structure that will represent all of us, all our interests in the negotiation, is CODESA. On this matter of the taxi industry and BRT, an agreement has been reached that it is the National Joint Working Group that is going to negotiate. On the representation of the taxi industry at national level, an agreement was reached with government that and all the taxi associations that it is Santaco that will lead the taxi industry in negotiation. Therefore, Honorable Poho, if we have different views on this matter, can we engage on it on another day? Because that is the background that I'm giving. I am not saying it is a correct background or what, but it is an agreement that has been reached and we need to be following that. And if there are challenges related to that, they can be presented at a later stage. Can we continue with the meeting?
In fact, I want to assist you, Chair, that to start with an agreement with what you take. And in fact, I am in full speed in terms of the background of the NJWG. And I'm not even beginning to question that. The background of my question is based on the fact that on one of their slides, they're saying in terms of Cape Town dynamics, the engaging AIDS association. It is on the background of that that I'm actually beginning to pose this question.
Okay. Now I am clarified because it is the government that is actually violating its own agreement with the taxi association. Therefore, creating the conflict in the taxi association because they agree. They propose that we put forward a structure through which we will negotiate. And after that, they go out and negotiate with every victim and Harry. Can we respond to the first question? And then I will take the second round.
So even the compensation model then the way that we would deal with it as NJWG, when it's up and running, it's not yet up and running, would have been for us to come up with a framework or guideline that then local cities would then implement. So outside the NJWG, what then has happened is that we've met with the cities just to kickstart that process. So then to put the issues on the table, and then we say to them, look, we need to come up with a model that will guide all of these. And so there is that recognition that the estimation that then happened.
Before you continue with that, are cities not represented in the NJWG?
Yes, Chairperson, they are represented. The NJWG comprises of national, provincial, as well as official.
Excuse me, why would there be a need to engage at a different level when the NJWG was established? So
we need to be careful when we use terms like engaging and negotiation. Because the way that we understood it and how the MOA currently is framed is that there is engagement at national level to come up with a national framework and guidelines at national level. And at a local level, that's where the negotiations will happen. An agreed framework and guidelines. Okay, that's here. So basically, that is the starting point. But then the challenge is that the NJWG hasn't gotten off for various reasons. Now, what has happened then is that cities have got commitments that they have to meet for 2010 and for making sure that they improve their public transport system. And so processes have been, you know, like the city of Joburg, they have gone ahead and then started to engage with their constituencies in terms of the industry. Okay. So can I just quickly finish Mr. Fano's question? It's in the city of Joburg because that's the only
can
place where...
Off the other mic because they make it impossible for recording.
Okay. Now, within the city of Joburg, when the data service came on board, about 167 vehicles were affected by the data service. And so what then had to happen was that the city had to pay a certain amount of money to those affected operators. And unfortunately, I can't go further into this. I would have really liked for the city of Joburg to have been here to present this themselves to the portfolio committee. But broadly, in terms of moving forward with phase 1A, the affected vehicles currently are about 585 for phase 1A. And so my understanding is that within the negotiations, the board 585 beneficiaries who are part of the negotiations. And my understanding is that they are not representing themselves on their own. They are being represented through their associations. And there's a very detailed process that the city has gone through in terms of making sure if somebody comes and says, I'm representing Association B, there's a very strict verification process that they've gone through to make sure that you are really who you say you are. And so those are the processes that are currently happening at the local level. Then moving to the next issue, on negotiations. Okay, I think I covered that as well around Rea Vaya operations, that those that have been affected by the data service, the city basically had to come up with a system where they were compensated and they were not made to work off, even though they were already part of the data service. Okay. Now, Oxford Road, the issue around Oxford Road really relates to the environmental impact assessment. I think...
Can you push back from the microphone? Can I send it to the data? Yeah. Maybe I'll just
put it like that. The data.
Yeah.
Okay. And the Oxford Road is one of the roads So currently, there have been challenges around that. There are protests from private card users who are not keen that the Oxford Road should be converted into a BRT. So basically, it's really around that. And then secondly, also just making sure that if they are going to put up BRT lanes, what would be the environmental impact assessment? And that process has not been completed. And that's why a decision now has been made in refining phase 1B not to cover Oxford Road until those matters are addressed. Until an EIA is fully completed and consultation with private card users around the Oxford Road, especially the residents around Oxford Road, have been consulted to be an agreement has been reached on taking the process forward. There was a question on management of freight vehicles for 2010. I think that one we will forward it to our freight company and then provide a written response. And I think there was a question around the 8,000 rand compensation amount that are indicated for the Nelson Mandela. Now, this is what the taxi industry has put on the table as what they would require if they are going to be part of the integrated public transport network. It's still a figure that needs to be verified further by the city, looking at a number of issues, input costs and all that, to see if they would then come up to the same amount. So it is a proposal that the city has put on the table, and they would expect that on a monthly basis over a 12-year period. So basically, that's what has been put on the table. But then the city still needs to engage with the industry to respond to that proposal. And I think there was a question on why only a taxi association in the city of Cape Town. Basically, as indicated with the city of Joburg, what has happened is every city would have started initially by setting up a structure that would have incorporated the full industry within the city. And that would have been purely an information sharing session where they inform them that, okay, this is what we plan to do. And in terms of the timelines that we have, we're going to start this with Corridor A, and therefore Corridor A moves from point A to point B, and Corridor A would then affect so many associations. And then the next step then would be to then engage with those only affected. So in the city of Cape Town, for phase 1A, there's only 8 taxi associations that are affected and 2 bus companies. Phase 1B then would have another number of taxi associations affected. So at this stage, we are only talking to those that are affected, but they would have started first talking to everybody in Cape Town. They would have said, this is what we plan to do, our vision, and this is how we're going to be facing in the different phases. This is where then you are going to be affected by 2010, but for now in 2010 or 2011, these are the only people that are affected. Therefore, we are only talking to those. And basically, that's the strategy that most of the cities are using. And I think there was some a question on the terms of contract. The department basically came up with a generic contract template. And basically the contract would be entered into between the city as well as the operating company or the service provider. And basically the contract would then look at the level of service expected, the schedule, time that you're supposed to provide that service, what fee you're going to be charging. It would look at what is expected of you in terms of providing that service. So, like in the city of Joburg, currently they are busy negotiating around the terms of their contract with the new bus operating company that would then operate phase 1A.
Thank you.
BRT. I think the public transport strategy is very clear about what we seek to do. And basically, we seek to transform public transport in South Africa. BRT is just one element of that. There's rail that we're looking at, Caltrain some part of that as well. There's taxi recap. There's also bus subsidies. And so the strategy seeks to basically make sure that we bring all these modes into an integrated public transport network, where every mode has a role to play, either as a feeder or as a trunk service or whatever. And so that then would have to happen. The planning for making sure that the system is integrated would have to happen at a local level through an ITP, through an integrated transport plan, or with BRT, it will be an operational plan. And whether we see that BRT is yielding results, we've only implemented in Reabaya. And I think so far, the feedback that we have received from commuters and passengers who are using Reabaya, we get a sense that it is a high-quality service that cannot be compared to, you know, the normal public transport system we have. And I'm sure even with Caltrain, it would be. It is a high-quality service. Basically, that's what we're trying to do, transform our public transport system, move it from where it is now to a service that is of high quality, that is affordable, that is safe and secure, facilities are improved in terms of stations, people with disabilities are able to move, you know, pregnant women are also having access to that system, and we have an integrated ticketing system, and I could go on and on and on. And so I would really, you know, encourage humbly the portfolio committee members to actually go and ride on their bike, just to get firsthand a sense of how it is like. You know, and you know what actually what's happening now is there's just this huge interest from other African countries who are actually coming into South Africa, you know, to ride on the system and just get firsthand experience of what it is like. And so we would be willing to coordinate, you know, such a visit for who stands to benefit in the BRT value chain. It is one area that within the NJWG there was going to be a comprehensive discussion on. And there's actually a subcommittee that's looking at enterprise development, because the vision was that we wouldn't want to only look at value chain opportunities, but that we need to move to a point where we empower the industry in terms of enterprise development, making sure that they are formalized into cooperatives, that they operate, you know, in a very efficient way, and in the process as well, look at opportunities that are available for them within the BRT value chain. And every city is looking at, so when we started with NJWG, already opportunities were put on the table. Some of the cities had already indicated, you know, these are some of the opportunities that are open to the industry, to the taxi industry. So I think as soon as the NJWG process is up and running, that would be one area where we make great progress on. Consultation with the taxi industry, is it happening or not? And therefore, why process? It's a very difficult one. I think my sense is, at a local level, that consultation is happening. Whether it is sufficient, that's something else. And I think it will always be, from government's point of view, it may be, yes, it's sufficient. From the taxi industry's point of view, maybe, no, it's not sufficient. And therefore, it will always be an ongoing challenge where how do you then reach that balance to make sure that you bring everybody on board. And I think even it's just that some of the information is not in the public domain. Like, for example, in the city of Joburg, the civil society, I think through SACO, has been involved in trying to address protests within the city. And so I think these are some of the things that are happening at a local level, and they are not necessarily, you know, being publicized, you know, at a national level. So, yes, the megaprojects, but in some instances, civil society comes and plays a role with government to make sure that those projects are affected. And so it will continue to be an ongoing challenge until, you know, we get everybody on board. Alignment between ICTS and tech to recap. I think in my presentation I indicated that there is ongoing work within the department to align the two. One of the things that has come up, for example, from our discussions with the city is really the whole issue around the submission or the handing in of the new taxi vehicle or an old taxi vehicle that needs to be scrapped and one that's new. Then if an operator decides that they would like to get involved, let's say with the Reavaya Phase 1A, what then happens to that vehicle? And so the city of Joburg has engaged with Asset National to say, how do we bring the two together? Is it possible that within the scrapping allowance for Johannesburg, that then we also look into making sure that those that have decided to become part of the integrated public transport network, there's a way that they're able to use the vehicle, and that vehicle is either deployed to another route within the city, or it's sold to, you know, somewhere else. So a number of options are being explored, and I don't know if Kemansa, maybe in response, could also indicate what other measures we're looking at in making sure that there is that alignment. I think the other issues Chairperson responded to in her opening. I'll now hand over to Kemansa.
I think my response is, there's a lot of similarities in the question, so I'll just try to round my answer as opposed to answering each one individually. The NJWG funding is a challenge, as I've indicated. We, as a department, have decided that the subcommittee and the projects within that will have to be somehow aligned within the budget we have and the projects we currently have. So we haven't totally said that we have no money, but we don't have a sustainable source for the NJWG itself. But we will utilize current funding and try to maximize as much as we can in regard to that. However, the stagnation of this group is not related to funding, but rather related to the fact that we did not get the necessary representation from the taxi industry. And as I indicated, they did say that they were busy with elections and didn't want to give us somebody on a part-time basis. What that actually means for the process and the MOA and the structuring of the group is that the subcommittee is the working group. The subcommittee does the legwork and then feeds back to the NJWG in the medical representation where decisions are actually taken. So without the representation, the subcommittees actually can't work and you have nothing to work on. So that is why the group has not been functional. The subcommittee itself, and that response answers the question about the identification of projects and the budget. This is a joint working group. There is no point in government sitting there deciding this is what needs to be done and almost dictating what this committee needs to be doing. The subcommittee were the ones who were going to put the project down, cost it, and the plan to take it forward. So at this point, you don't have the project, the cost, or the plan to take it forward. When the subcommittee needs that, is what will come out, and that's the term of reference for each group that's covered in this presentation. We acknowledge the support from the committee, the portfolio committee, in terms of providing assistance where we may need it. Thank you, we acknowledge that. But I just want to advise that we've also appointed what we call a facilitator, who's also assisting this program. The question on the relationship between the taxi recap program and the BRT, I think that we mustn't lose sight of the fact that the taxi recap was actually put there to replace old unsafe vehicles with safer, more compliant vehicles. The BRT is a portion of an integrated public transport network system. So there's two different purpose areas. And what we need to acknowledge on the BRT side is that the figures that we have say that we will not exceed 8% of the current taxi fleet incorporated into BRT. It's a very small number. but they cannot be, let's focus on one and not the other. We actually still need to focus a lot on the Taxi Reset program because there are a lot of unsafe vehicles out there. But in terms of taxis that will be affected by the BRT system, we have, and Kibi has actually given a bit of feedback on that. We have given comfort to provinces and cities saying that if you have your rollout now and you want to replace those old vehicles, we will prioritize your needs in terms of traffic. If you've got 200 vehicles in this province and you need to traffic to roll out the BRT, we will prioritize it within the taxi reset program. I think I've answered my bit on the NJWG, but if I've left something out.
There was a follow-up question from Honorable Farrell.
The problem is that I think you answered properly. When I discussed the issues about the operating deficit, there's one very key issue there, and that's the VAT issue. That just raised at another meeting we had before. If you look at what's happening, and I've written and I've asked the minister to look into this matter, including the Minister of Finance, what is happening, Madam Chair, is you're taking a taxi, you buy it, and you pay that on it. Then you operate that taxi with a view to recovering your capital cost. I mean, that's business principle. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the state is now paying subsidy to that operator for the use of giving those people the lift for public commitment. Now, it's robbing people to pay for, because what you're doing is you're paying 40% back on the purchase on the one hand, and then you're paying a 60% subsidy to the operator on the other hand in terms of operating the bus. So it doesn't make sound sense, and I think it's something this committee must really look at. Because it's just the whole accounting to attend, you know, and every year we're running out of money when it comes to subsidies. We haven't even brought the taxis clearly into that process fully. We've got BRTs arriving, and I was hoping I was going to get some sense from you as to whether government or the state or department is looking at that specific issue. Because unless that, while that's there, you're going to have operating deficits across the board for every operation. We know that. In every country in the world, there is subsidy going into public transport. To what level, though, is the question. And then whether the correct one is to do it per operator or per commuter is another way that I was trying to get her to respond to, and I hope that you can answer me.
If I am understanding you correctly, that you're looking at government giving almost like tax breaks to... I'm just not understanding.
Well, if I could just put it mildly without answering your question, there is very big talk in the industry. You know, the cost of that on the purchase, capital purchases of vehicles and buses and everything that's related is the 14% which we are talking about. Now, there could be, just like there is for foodstuffs, there could be an exemption given to that on the basis that effectively the government is paying for it through another way. And that is through the subsidy. So you're robbing Peter to pay for it, coming out the same pot. So whether you're getting 40% and you're raising that as a levy and a tax, over here you now get it back in the way of the subsidy. So, you know, what are we proving here? I mean, I'm trying to get to a point where we can understand whether this is a real implication or whether it's not, because the city of Cape Town raised it as a $500 million issue of deficit, and I'm sure every other bus company, every other bus purchaser, every taxi purchaser in the country is facing the same dilemma. I'm not trying to find out whether anything's been thought about it.
No, we haven't. I think it's only, the city of Cape Town is starting to raise it. The last meeting that we had, it wasn't an issue that was put on the table, but then it's an issue that we'll go back and as a team we'll look at.
It's a good proposal, but we also need to manage it in terms of the fact that when we have a deficit, and we want to use the government approach in terms of the tax to actually counterbalance and reduce it, we must ensure that the costing is done first, and then we use that, because you want to make sure that the benefit then comes back to government and not to the operational cost calculation.
I agree.
Okay.
There was also a follow-up question from Honorable Duma and Honorable Baba.
Naturally, it's just the subcommittees that are feeding to the staff, the follow-up. that there were five subcommittees, and whether all other organizations except one have submitted their reps for the five subcommittees, and whether all the five subcommittees are now waiting for something else. Because I thought that the subcommittees could prepare proposals that would go to the main structure. And it is only there where decisions are taken, but not at a level where the proposals are made. And I was saying, Chair, an organization can also, without being there at the subcommittee level, send written proposals on the issues that are being negotiated.
Chairperson, on almost the same lines as Comrade Delaney on this question of Sandako, I just wanted to check whether it was not possible to persuade them to come up with an interim representative so that there should be progress on the work of this joint committee. That's one thing, because it's critical that they are there, but it is critical also that this committee must go on working. We are almost running short of time because there are issues related to 2010 with regard to transport as well. And I hope they are sensitive to that as well. Secondly, on the enterprise development, the slide on enterprise development. You're talking about designing a model for the corporate foundation of the next one, the financial institutions. Are you referring to the DFI or you are referring to the private financing institution or both? Lastly, somewhere where you say the MEC did not sign the memorandum of understanding, I wanted to clarify on whether they were not supposed to sign or were there concerns that had not been addressed, that they would want addressed first before they could sign the memorandum of understanding.
Okay. I will then together. I will then recognize the help of Honorable Members, followed by Ms. Salama from the Civil Society. I don't know whether some people would want to come in at this point.
One of them have been asked already, so I'll ask the one that hasn't been asked. I'll start with the DRT. The presentation talks about a lot more interactions required between the cities and CRASA, and with the terms. So if can you just explain at what stage is that, and why we're still at that stage, presumably by now moving to the advanced stage. The other question I have is the presentation talks about the bus operating contracts having penalties. So just unpack that, what kind of penalties we're talking about, and what are the consequences for the cities involved and the companies involved. And then if you could just tell us where we are with the Interdepartmental Forum, what stage that is. I understand it's very new. And then you might not be able to answer this, but if you could be great. The Rio Vaya, in particular the BRT going around, for example, the Phillips Park precinct, the stations are very, very close together. I don't understand the rationale for that, number one. And number two, why I know the answer, but I'd like to hear what your answer is. Why is it that the ridership is so low, and what's being done to change the situation? It's a very low ridership, that's what I'm saying, about 80 buses today. And it hits June, July during the FIFA World Cup. I've started it pretty easy, so what now? And then with regard to the recap, I'm going to be special assembly office. The presentation talks about the legalization of semi-legal taxi operators. Exactly what does that mean? Does it mean that they can take a vehicle and they can reconstruct it back to the way the manufacturer made it? Does it mean they need to scrap completely? Does it mean they can have on a window and a printer? Exactly what does it mean? Is there a specific document that maps it out? Then also in your presentation you talk about the design models of the corporatization of the industry. What does that mean? The industry to deal with that is, considering the players involved. And then, so with regard to car trains, I'd love to hear what Jeff has an answer on this, because I still have not found an answer. And what if there are no numbers on the car train? What if there's no ridership? What if there is? I'm still very unconvinced, although I support the principle of a train. I'm very unconvinced of these figures, which are all very theoretical. And then, if Jack could just talk to us about the coordination, if there is any, and the integration with the city of Joburg in this case. And, these links that we talk about, the unity, and the bus, their bus system, and our train system, and so forth. Where is it going there? Because talking to officials in Johannesburg, they expressed frustration that there wasn't enough coordination.
Thank you, Chef, for inviting us to the this portfolio committee. Chef, the disappointment from us as a civil society, as we do sit in the NG committee, that there's so much which is being done without us knowing what's going on. And if I'm hearing that because Santaco has not submitted to their members, don't recall where we sat in the meeting of the NJWG and we said no, because there are these technicalities. This is how we're going to take this matter forward. So it's simple as the same thing that started with the taxi recap, where the matter was at NetLeg, and then the government decided to take it out and deal with the taxi. And then they had problems. They're still having problems now. So will you put them in the negotiation so they get out and test one-on-one? And then when there is a problem, as a civil society, commuters will suffer. If you're talking about Joburg, what we agreed about in Joburg, in the NJWG, was that Joburg must stop the process.
Yeah.
That's what we agreed upon. And then when we start doing the work of the NJWG, we'll start with Joburg. But we still newspapers, there's a process for going forward. Now you ask yourself, then today there is the leadership of Santaco. We here in government is here. We have never met and say, there is this problem. How do we tackle the problem? Because the work must carry on. Then we would have been in a position to say, these are technicalities. Now I've just asked the president, tell me how many provinces have launched? He said, all. Now, even these cities where they are dealing with them, there should be people already who are in the structure or a new structure of the Santaco. Now, because they sit and they do their own thing, then they can't even look at the mechanism and say, let's talk to you, how many, we're looking for people in Joburg. We're sitting at NJWG, now we're saying we're forming we form the framework or whatsoever. Now, I don't know whether we'll keep on running after them because they are running. They say we must do the enterprise development. But everything is moving. And I think it's important for me to say from the committee point of view, we know the tax impact has been there. Since the apartheid, there was no public transport to us, and they supported us. and then now it's time for them to benefit. We have a committee for enterprise development where things should be discussed. Now if you're listening, they are buying buses, their own buses. They are going to Brazil, they're doing this, they're procuring there. Their own people who brought us up to now, they're not getting anything, and they instead they are causing conflict amongst the people because they don't want to work with us from the community point of view. Last 2 weeks there was a road safety summit, and we invited the civil society, and we were told, no, use your own money to come because you don't have money. But I'm hearing that those processes, it's not a sense, but this was happened, we could not attend because there's no money, nothing, but we were invited. There was this civil society strategic workshop where we said we want to do it before the budget. So if there are going to be money needed to run the thing, we'll be able to give them the budget. But it has been said we must stop. We must only have the workshop in April. So I wonder what we're talking about. We've asked that there should be a 2010 presentation. What is happening? What is the plan for 2010 with the taxi industry, with the whole transport? That it was said is going to be done somewhere in January or February because it's this agent. Now it's March. We don't know. We might see that the taxi industry do something else during the 2010 because we are not in a position to discuss exactly what's happening. The minister has said, when was it? Mr. Mlife's funeral. He said by January or February, those buses in Joburg, they will be run by the Santaco. That's what he said. He announced it at the funeral. So then, exactly what is happening? What is it? Because if you're looking at the structure when going down, we should be receiving information from KTAM, from what is the NJWG, and then we agree. That's how you form a framework. You don't say there's a framework and then you run down and then do your own thing, and then you want us to come at the NJWG to say what? Because you've got your own things you're doing there. Because NJWG has got representatives from our organization, different organizations down there. But now that information, they are not participating there because they've decided to go with the tax index. And with Gauteng, if you check, we also check the civil society. There are people, individuals, who have been part and parcel of the taxi group, but there is money here involved. They jump and say, we represent the organization. And then they start the infighting within the taxi index. So I think government in this check and the members, they must come up clean exactly what they want to do to us, because there is a problem. Because even if you're looking at, if you're saying we've got enterprise development, I asked this question in the last meeting we were, that there are buses which have been purchased, I think, 1,000 by tractor. I said, now where does the tech industry fit in here? Because we should be making them to participate there. And now here in Gautrain is talking about buses all over. So if you're saying tech industry, you want to leave them there, take the operators, or you want them to participate in the main transport, what is it? What is your vision? If you've got those five control committees, those committees, they tell you you want to take them somewhere. But now, you keep them aside, you keep them doing your own thing. Even with Gauteng, with all those buses, I don't know if the fact that Santaco is involved, Santaco is involved there. I don't know.
Thank you. Comrade Chairperson, thank you so much. I must tell you, I've been to this portfolio committee several times, but this is the most one that makes one feel very bad. Especially, I'm highly disappointed by the government representatives. I'm not sure whether this is the new position of the new administration. I'm not sure whether they represent the ethos of the minister or their own. I am shocked. Normally you'd be put up to speed as to say what is happening, but in this particular instance, you find these new revelations when you get to this particular meeting. I need to indicate, put it on record, I'm not familiar to the content thereof, and it is indeed discouraging. The whole purpose why we put up NJWG, obviously it was because NJWG developed from a problem-based situation. It was not just a government initiative of empowerment. There was a crisis. But I can see that NJWG was another waiting room to get process going. It has become evidently clear today that there was no intention, good intention from the government to really participate. No wonder you see the people doing the construction saying the plans will come later. The construction is going on. Now you'll come up with a framework at a later stage, but let's continue to build. The question is, what are you building? What it means, you'll put a plan that will fit the house that will already be in place. So for me, when I'm looking into these two documents, I don't understand. In fact, they've been talking about integration. They are not integrated because they are continuing implementing this side. The document is talking something differently. But obviously, indeed, it's become evidently clear that there is no good intention from the government. But I don't want to go into any question whatsoever. The reason why there's been quietness in the taxi industry is because we have said to them, listen, there is a process in place. We don't want to be seen as an industry, as people that use their stomach more than their brains. We are engaged in a process of negotiation. There is an establishment of an entity whereby you are going to put all our issues on that particular entity. Obviously, one needs to put on record, we've indeed sold those people out. Because whilst they're waiting for negotiation to take place, things were happening on the side. And one is going to make that report clear as of this meeting that indeed, from the government side, there is no intention of dealing with the issue of BRT. Therefore, each one who feels that his bread is being tampered with, he needs to deal whatever that he thinks it's necessary to do so. I don't understand this new approach of divide and rule. In fact, you know, I liked Barrow. I wish Barrow could be representing the government or the industry vis-a-vis the people in the industry themselves. I mean, he seems to have more deeper understanding of what needs to be done. Except that he lacked some other fundamental issues when he was asking if Santaco is not there, then I wanted to ask the first question, who does portfolio committee represent? Obviously, you don't have to speak to each and every person. It represents us down there. So it's the same thing with us. We represent all the committees. It's not like Santaco is just a group. It's like when you say portfolio committee is a group of 9 people in Cape Town. No, they represent the interest of the committees in South Africa. Same thing applies to the Santaco. But I'm not there. But this is what I want to understand, Chairperson. I want to understand something. What is the purpose of coming to portfolio committee, present our challenges? Is it going to assist us? Because we can ask them all the questions, they will give us all the answers for things that are neither here nor there. But what I want to understand, what power vests within them? Because we've got only one option as a taxpayer, to go out of this NJWG. Simple as that. Because it's a mechanism of divide and rule and control whilst you continue with the agenda. As the member from the civil society indicated, the new strategy that they are using in Johannesburg, so that one just share this information in the portfolio committee, there is no association in Johannesburg that supports this process. But what the department, what the state of Johannesburg have done, they've identified individuals. You know, you can imagine if you represent the industry, why do you need the police force around you? Certain individuals who don't want even to vacate the office. For record, their term of office has since expired. They are running without a mandate. Now, they've been running away for elections because they are waiting for them until they sign the contract of this BRP so that individually they benefit. That is the truth of the matter. That could be ascertained. In fact, I've even called for a meeting with the minister and the MEC of transport in this particular instance. But you know, what I want to get from this portfolio committee, we want to put it on record here that we are not satisfied with the processes of BRT, the way it's being done. We can see that the BRT does not have intention of empowering the taxi people. We can see that the BRT, its only objective is to empower the route that people have built with their own resources, with their own time. When it is time to benefit, better people are being positioned for that particular thing. And therefore, I want also to say, since we started this business on our own without the involvement, without the help of the government, it then becomes the responsibility of our own again to defend our business at every possible means, because for us it's an issue of bread and butter, and therefore we're not going to just watch, sit back and see this bread being taken away. One needs to indicate again today, it was 95 days yesterday, 94 days to date, there hasn't been any plan as to how the taxi industry will participate in 2010. We've been asking that question several times. What is our role? I mean, we are carrying 50 million people every day. What is our role in this particular program of 2010? Plans are coming, no plans are coming. Obviously, that's another clear indication that whether it be for 2010, whether it be for BRT, there is no intention whatsoever for the tax industry to be put into any program. So I'm saying, I thought to a certain extent we were going to a certain direction, but having listened attentively to the presentation by the speakers from the Department of Transport, indeed, it has become evidently clear that there is no such intention. And Chairperson, therefore, I would really want to say the intention of Santaco in this particular instance, I mean, there hasn't been any situation. It's like what the lady has been saying, that as if it's still current up to now. We have sent the names of representatives. As soon as we finished in that particular region, we'll send those names. Through those names are in their present. It's not like we've not sent those names, because we are of the view, especially at the local level. At the local level, Santaco is not a structure in Pretoria. Santaco is a structure in South Africa with the region, with the association, all the other levels. So we've got a proof here, and they know it, as they say here, that they have received the name, it's in their possession, but for whatever reason, I'm not sure why they've not called the NJWG. But for them to come into this meeting and make a blatant lie is unacceptable. They should be coming up with something more constructive to say what's the reason for them not to have called the NJWG, which is they don't have any intention of doing so, because NJWG is a waste of time. They've got program to implement. They've got deadline to meet. Therefore, they don't intend to get into a process that might derail them from the original plan where they are. Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you. Chairperson, I think the president of Santaco has already said a lot, but I think it's Mr. De Freitas. On the question he asked about the semi-legal operator, I think one must indicate here that government has never been very honest on this particular question. Has never been honest, because we have been saying the reason why you find people fighting in the taxi industry is because people are claiming to be waiting for their operating license, which are not forthcoming. There are two processes which we have agreed upon, actually which were created by government. The first process, it was the special legalization process around 1998, of saying that all taxi operators who have been operating without permits, if associations which are existing in those areas can confirm that those people have been operating, those people will be legalized. those people were identified, applications were done for those people. Till today, those people don't have operating license. Again, it's the taxi operators who are dragging their feet. Then there was another process which was called the illegal process, which was spearheaded by the late Minister Dula Omar, Madam Chair. This illegal process was to ensure that those people who were left because of ties during the special legalization period, those people will then be accommodated on this illegal process. Again, it is the taxi industry that has not submitted names. Those people are still waiting till today for their operating licenses. Is it wrong when people really are fighting for the turf they've been operating and where they've been asking government to legalize them? Is it wrong? I don't think that it's wrong. But Madam Chair, you know, I think my president, I'm sure you might have heard it. He has spoken from the heart. He has been representing people who have been crying all this time, and we have been saying that we are busy negotiating with government, we are arriving at that stage. I think the time has come for us to tell the people that the taxi industry is being taken for a ride, and there are people, we don't know until such time this government put it forward to us, there are intentions. And today I want to say in this portfolio committee, we get it very clear, there are intentions to get rid of the taxi industry by the government. Madam Chair, for record purposes, we will protect our taxi industry in this country of ours. We have seen the tactics of government, which they came up with all sorts of things to just get rid of us. The tax recapitalization program, we embraced it. We thought that the government was honest around it. We embraced it, but nothing is really benefiting the taxi industry. Until we get this BRT, which is now the final death nail into the lifespan of the taxi industry. I don't know whether it is because government is funding the national structure of the taxi industry to see to it that things are in place, whether that funding is used for something else, whether it is maybe to buy us as the national office, not to deliver what is expected by our people, and we should keep quiet about that. I'm not sure whether it is that. But I'm saying that this business of ours, and I'm very emotional, we have built it with hard sweat, and we will protect it with hard sweat. Thank you.
Sir, I just wanted to add, like the Comrade Chai was saying, they are being funded. It makes it worse when people know that the Santa Cruz office are within the Department of Transport. They are seeing one-on-one on daily basis, but they can't talk to resolve the matter.
Okay. Thank you for that, Chair. Just to add to what the Comrade Talan already said, the other concern is that at the end of we agree that the structure is going to look at the broader issues of the public transport system. So it's quite shocking to realize that the department is continuing to engage with SABOA separately,
yeah,
without bringing them on board into the NJWG, and they are also engaging with CASA and Caltrain without the civil society and other organizations within the NJWG.
also another concern that we have over the civil society.
Thank you. Before I allow the department to correspond, I just want to make a few comments. You see, before the general election, there was a looming strike. And it was in a form of boycotting the election by the taxi industry. And everybody knows in this country that if the taxi industry boycotts and park their cars, no shops will have workers, no factory will have workers, no shops will have consumers. It is a fact. People that are sick will not reach hospitals. That is a fact. So if the taxi industry was going to boycott the national general election, that was not going to be a vote lost from the taxi industry only. The country was actually not going to have successful election. That's the bottom line. That boycott was averted by the president of the ANC, together with the president of SANTACO. It is this president of SANTACO that actually picked up the phone and called the president and said, "We have no intention of holding the country at ransom. Can we leave?" And the president of the ANC met with the president of SANTACO. That is the commitment from the taxi industry that everybody faces. The strike, the national strike that was going to take place when the city of Johannesburg implemented the BRT was affected by SANTACO. It is SANTACO that sat with SANTACO for 5 hours. The reason for that, people were going to die if that strike continued. Ordinary citizens of this country were going to die. Many people died for this country to be where it is to be, and we don't want to see a single drop of the blood. What was agreed after that was that the taxi industry was calling off the strike to give room for the NJWG to do its work and address the concerns of the civil society. The government addresses it so that the government would address the concerns of the civil society and the concerns of the taxi industry in as far as the BRT and the transformation of the public transport in South Africa is concerned. To this day, we do not know the concerns of the taxi industry because that has not yet been discussed. Mm. While we are waiting for that and this portfolio committee to be given a feedback in terms of the progress that is being made by the NJWG, and the reshaping of the BRT having taken into consideration issues raised by the taxi industry, it will instead implement the feeder route system. The taxi industry again wants to embark on a strike. That strike is again averted by the intervention of SACO, a commuter organization. Now, the question that I want to raise is,
the department think that the civil society should be the mudguard between government and the tax industry? Because my understanding is that the civil society is in the NJWG to represent the views of the commuters, not to be a buffer between the government and the tax industry. But also, when the department is presenting to us, I don't feel that in their presentation they take into consideration the problem that exists in the taxi industry and want to come with solutions and interventions that would not perpetuate those problems. Then the question that I want to ask Mina is that, before I ask that question, there is a question from Mr. Tim. Why are we here? What is the work of this portfolio committee? We are here because we provide oversight to the department. And if the department doesn't perform to the satisfaction of Parliament and the people itself, we are the people that have to identify that and deal with the problem. So these meetings are not a waste of time. Without calling you to come to these meetings, we would have no idea of where things stand in terms of the progress that is supposed to be made, but as well as the expected end results of the intervention that are put in place by the department. Now, I want to address myself to the department. A household survey on public transport was undertaken in 2003. Key findings of that survey, public transport survey. One, transport, public transport in South Africa is not affordable by the poor. It costs very, very high. I don't think only the poor, because even a person who drives a car would have chosen to park the car if we had an efficient and cost-effective public transport in South Africa. The public travels longer hours from point A to B. For us to be in a meeting that starts at 8 o'clock here, you must wake up at 5 o'clock. Because it takes an hour and a half for a bus to move from Akasha Park, a distance that you would cover in 15 minutes if there was no traffic congestion. So for anyone to travel in South Africa, whether you are driving your car or what, you travel longer time. Public transport is unsafe. Today what we hear is that Rea Vaya is of high quality service. We are not told how much does that high quality service cost. How has it reduced the cost of traveling? High quality, we can agree. But has it reduced the cost of traveling? The fourth finding was that the transport in South Africa is not integrated. If you live in Guamashu and you are going to the Durban airport, you take a train, you would alight at the Durban station and then have to walk to get a bus. A bus that will not drop you at the airport. It will drop you somewhere along the south bound. And then you will have to take again a taxi and hire. There is no taxi that is standing in each and every railway station or bus station that takes you to the airport. You will have to hire a a meter test in order to get to the airport. That is the integration that we are talking about, which then pushes the cost of traveling high, as well as the time. The roads are congested, resulting with degrading road infrastructure. There is no one who has not seen the type of potholes that we have in this country. Because heavy trucks are using, carrying goods, are using the road infrastructure because there is no efficient rail transport in South Africa. The question that I want to pose to the department, do we have a master plan that responds to these findings? And if we have, what is the strategy, the implementation strategy, and what is the model at national level that would then be replicated in all the provinces, because it is the Bible that we will all be reading from? What are the expected end results? What is it that we'll see as the end result, as the change that would have taken place, by when? And what kind of resources are required for us to implement the master plan, the strategy, and the models that have been developed? The last question, how does the strategy recognize that we have a broad-based black economic empowerment policy in this country, and then be sensitive not to take away jobs from the people who have participated in this industry, but instead further develop them so that they can become part of the mainstream of the economy? Those are my questions. Can you stop before you respond to that question? Our understanding is that all these entities are coordinated somewhere, and the department at national level is the coordinator. And if there are cities that have to develop plans and implement programs, that coordination happens through the integrated intergovernmental relations framework. And at national level, which is through the MINMEC. So there would be a kind of coordination, whether it is a structure that is operating at local government level or provincial government level. The second issue that we want your response to take into consideration is that we have been presented plans that don't speak to each other. The 2020 Rail Infrastructure Development Plan of Transnet does not speak to the Rail Infrastructure Plan of the department. Last week, the SADC took decisions in terms of the rail infrastructure development. So I'm saying that from where we sit now, we are looking at transport as a unit, irrespective of where the implementation takes place.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, I agree with you. The coordinating structure for at a national level is really black. It's also COSO. COSO is the coordinating structure of the HOD, where And then at the local level, through the NL, the National Land Trust of X, was supposed to be intermodal technical committee. And while those are still not yet up and running, the department has created integrated public transport forums at the local level. And those have been established across the 12 cities, and they've already started to deal with issues around bus capacity. And then the issue that became, should we continue with those issues within the structure, or that NJWT should be facing some of those issues? And I think the understanding was then that the NJWT, as soon as it came on board, it wasn't going to deal with issues around integration as well. So those forums are there within the provinces, as I'm saying, and they continue to meet with provinces and governments, because it is required by I think it's the public transport operations one. It requires that forum must be established. And so what we, in my presentation, I indicated that what needs to happen ASAP is to actually establish the intermodal planning committee, and that hasn't gotten on. Now, with regard to Praga and cities particularly, this letter was presented to NINLEX, and it is then the NINLEX directive that then said a structure must be established as soon as possible, and that we must come back and report to NINLEX how that integration is taking place. For example, in the city of Tshwane, Praga is actually involved with the BRT station, because the station that I think there is an alignment between, I think each deal will have to come in as well, between the BRT station and the park station, and that the planning with the city of Tshwane is actually has been happening with Praga. So even with in certain cities where that some of that planning hasn't gotten off, and basically what we're trying to say now is that we need to move with speed to make sure that integrated planning happens as soon as possible. But in some cities, it has taken off. And I think we also have with Gautrain, where in the city of Joburg, they are planning together. The city of planning of Joburg is planning with Gautrain, with BRT, with Metro Rail to make sure that the service is integrated. So I think the issue was really to go back to the neck and say, this is happening, this is how it's happening. Where it's not happening as quickly as it should be, then what needs to happen? Basically, that's the directive that we were given by NINLEX. And that's why I just indicated this here, that that's the process that's underway within the department and the CTC and Praga. Then there was the whole issue around the penalty, the bus operating contract penalty. And I think these are purely fines for poor performance. For example, if a bus is not clean, there would be a penalty. If the bus, in terms of environmental standards, doesn't meet those standards, whether it be through smoke emissions or whatever, there would be a penalty. If a bus comes late or doesn't stop where it's supposed to stop, there would be a penalty. So those are the kinds of penalties in the contract that would then be imposed to the provider. I'm sure there will be penalties as well on behalf of the municipality. If it doesn't pay on time or whatever, I'm sure there would be penalties that would be looked at. I think these are standard contract issues. Then on the interdepartmental forum, where we are, this is just a new structure that was established. It's really just a that there was only one meeting where purely it was a response to a request from various parties to say, look, should we meet as government and get a discussion on some of the challenges that are taking place at a city level. So as I indicated earlier on, there was that recognition that we would have to bring on board other important parties. And I should also say that when the NJWG, around the time that we were finalizing the MOA, there was always an understanding that BRT would have been prioritized in the discussion.
Yeah.
So I would really request humbly that maybe we should actually request the city to come and make a presentation to the customers. Then they may be able to respond better to specific issues that may be raised here that we are unable to respond to because we're not intimately involved in the negotiations at the local level. So basically that's it. So I don't even want to respond and say that's not true, associations are not involved or the city is interacting with individuals or, you know, because where I am sitting, the report that we receive indicates to us that this is what's happening on the ground. Then I think I must just indicate also, Chairperson, this is for me to Chairperson, that I don't think that the current administration is changing the vision in terms of empowering the industry and taking the industry forward. There has been engagement between the minister and the DG, and now he's no longer an acting DG, he's now the DG, Mr. Masalela. And I think they are both, and the deputy minister, they are all committed to really empowering and further taking the taxi industry forward. And I think our commitment is also demonstrated through the national framework agreement that we came up with. If we didn't think that the taxi industry has a role to play, I don't even think that we would have come up with a framework like that. It is a document that still needs to be developed further, and I'm sure both us and the industry and civil society will be able to take this important issue forward. I think the challenge on the ground, Chairperson, is purely that, well, as I indicated earlier on, during the process when the concept of NGWG was touted, there was always this thing that, okay, now what do we do? Yes, we do see that we must almost like convey, but on the other hand, cities have got responsibilities, especially with regard to transit care. What now do they do? And I think I must also then indicate that currently, it's only in the city of Joburg where they launched a startup service. They have not even gone further than they would have really liked to. Yes, the MMC did in the media statement indicate that they were going to be launching phase 1A. But based on, as I say, the update that was given, there have been meetings between the city together with the affected operators. So UTEP and all these other associations after she then released that media statement. So I think the city is aware of the sensitivities that are on the ground, and I don't think that they will just on, you know, just ignore concerns that or the challenges that the industry has put on the table and just continue as is. And I think even for us at National, we are fully dedicated and committed to the NGWG process, and our understanding was that there really weren't any names of the taco provided to the department for the subgroup, okay, for the subcommittee. And so we're still waiting, and so Samantha can confirm this. So, but then if already a list has been submitted, maybe it's been submitted to somebody else within the department, because there is also another lady who deals with NJWG, but based on the feedback that she's given us, we were not aware that there are names that have been submitted for the subcommittee. Then, Chairperson, there were other issues that you raised concerning the National Council Travel Survey and some of the observations that came out of that. And I think that this as well, because we are not able to basically make a comprehensive presentation. And I think what we can do, Chairperson, is come for our next meeting where we can show for example, with Ayabaya, how Ayabaya is dealing with issues around the cost of living or reduced cost of traveling, issues around time. I think the one with time will always be a challenge because it's an issue of now transforming our land use and transfer planning. And that is an issue that is on the agenda in the department. It's also an issue that was recognized as part of the transport master plan process.
Can you stop that?
Yeah.
I want to, you know, to explain how I understand planning in a layman's language, because I've never been to a university. Planning in a layman's language means that you have a broader plan relating to a number of issues that you would want to address. Then below that broader plan, which we would call a master plan, you would have specific programs that are targeting each issue that you would want to address, but are feeding to the broader plan. And then you would have what you would be doing and the change that you will see when you have completed that. That is what we would want to see as this portfolio committee. There was a national survey with the findings that are outlining the problem, the current situation. We would want to move from the current situation to a better situation. That is what we want to see first and foremost. In between the current situation and the ideal situation is the process, the road that will actually take us from where we are to where we want to be. And those are programs. To me, whether you can explain the BRT or explain what, if you don't link the BRT to the current situation and also link the BRT to the ideal situation after completion, I will not see the benefit of the BRT. And the benefit that I want to see is a benefit that takes into consideration all the five issues that I have mentioned, including the black economic empowerment aspect, because there is a sector that has been within that operation, which does not have to be pushed away during the process of responding to these five problems that have been identified. So your presentation, even if you are doing it, what we are saying is that it doesn't give us a clear picture of where we are and where we are going to and how we are going to travel to reach to where we are going to and how we will take along people that have been operating on that route that we want to travel.
Yes, Chairperson, you're correct. In terms of the transport master plan, that would be your broader national plan, and the department has developed that, and that's being developed at a national level. Then you would then have, now, this is in accordance with the National Land Transport Act. Then you would have your provincial strategic frameworks that are developed with a vision, as you indicate, and in developing those provincial strategic frameworks, they would have looked at data from the National Health and Travel Survey. They would have looked at what challenges have been raised.
Would they have looked at the master plan?
The master plan is developed at the national level.
Yes.
And the master plan has done that. And actually the master plan has even gone further to say we need to be doing these five-year reviews of the National Household Travel Survey.
Ms. Manan.
Yes.
We are dealing also with the issue of planning in silos. We are also dealing with the issue of duplication. If there is a master plan, then there will be a national strategy and a national model. And all that will be done at provincial level is the implementation. There will not be a planning at provincial level and a strategy at the national level. We are one government.
That is why we have a National Planning Commission in place, because this has been the main issue, that waste resources, waste time, because everybody wants to plan and no one wants to implement anything.
Everything that you're doing, whether it be planning or it's in line with the legislation that we have. We have the National Land Transport Act, which stipulates what plan must develop, where, at what level, and what that plan would cover. And so in everything that we're doing, we are guided by that. And I might also just indicate that the planning in the department is in another continent. And I would request that we should, the portfolio committee should actually invite the team that deals with the master plan to come and make a presentation to the portfolio committee. And also invite Jis Patel, who deals with transport planning. And then you would be able to explain how all these plans fit in. And basically that's that. So you then have the transport master plan, which is developed nationally. And I know it's an issue that currently Mr. Stuma is looking into how the transport master plan is supposed to relate to the National Planning Commission. It's an issue that you can, when you invite him to come and make a presentation to the committee, that he should then indicate how that is dealt with. Then, now this is in line with the National Land Transport Act. The Act says provincial land transport strategic frameworks must be developed. The Act says at a local level, there needs to be an integrated transport plan. And basically, the integrated transport plan would then outline what the vision is. It would then deal with the very same issues that you're raising. It would then deal with issues around safety and security. It would deal with issues around affordability. It would deal with issues around land use and planning, how the two should be integrated. And basically, land use and planning is if you're going to be putting up a house in Area D, you must make sure that transport issues are also addressed. You just don't go and put a house in Area D, whereas the city is not even thinking of putting up a road going to Area D.
There are schools with no roads leading to.
Yes, I'm sure there are. And I think basically the agenda now is that we need to make sure that we do not go ahead, there isn't that integration between land use planning as well as transport planning. We need to start working together. We need to make sure that, and even through the IDP, Integrated Development Plan, because the ITP forms part of the IDP. So we need to make sure that wherever we are, there are nodes of development. Our special nodes are supported by transport services as well. You shouldn't just go and put up a house where there's no thinking of developing economic or social opportunities around that area. Currently, the practice is the opposite of that. And so I think it's one agenda that we need to really address. It's a critical one. And I think there is that recognition that if we are going to move forward to really, really deal with affordability of traveling and traveling time, there needs to be that information. So as I was saying, then you have your ITPs, and those ITPs then will be developed in the intermodal planning committee. And this is all in line with the National Land Transport Act. And it's one agenda that I think in the department we need to, there is that recognition that we need to fast track as soon as possible. Then on the broad-based black economic empowerment matter, I have to be honest, I'm not sure what is happening there. And I think you are right, Jefferson, that you know the silo mentality in the department runs very high, because you've got another component that's dealing with BEE, and you don't have BEE being part of public transport, for example. You don't have BEE being part of aviation or maritime or or land transport. But within the NJWG process, the way that it was envisaged was that the BEE would be part of enterprise development. We actually have but there was a meeting last year to basically explore how the two would be brought in together. So I think we would really like to appeal that the NDWG must be up and running. As soon as it is up and running, a lot of these issues will be dealt with. Then we would make sure that BEE is addressed as part of the value chain, you know, process, work starts, those opportunities are identified, and Jefferson, the department has got a charter, a BEE charter, specifically for public transport, for every sector, for bus, even she's saying now that there's one for taxis only, there's one only for buses, there's one as well for only those two. So there is one, and I think the issue is it being implemented? And if so, where is it being implemented? Who is monitoring that implementation? And I think the best person who would also come would have to be invited would be Mr. Sikuyo, who deals with God-based Black Economic Empowerment. Because I know that currently he's busy running with a number of projects and aligning with the DTI code. And so, yeah.
Thank you. We would allow a response from Mr. Van der Nassen in relation to the Gautrain. But before I give to Mr. Van der Nassen, you see, it is very, very important for us to understand the history of this country when we do things. And not just read the history of this country, but live it. And also it is very, very important for us to understand government policies and why they were put in place. For me, BEE is not a slogan. It is not a political rhetoric. It is a tool that opens an opportunity for a person who was disadvantaged in this country by the laws of the apartheid government. If we were to fly in a helicopter and move around all the cities of this country and say, point to us one area that is dominated by Black people in the economy, there's only one area that you would point at. Black people don't own gold mines. They don't own diamond mines. They don't own manufacturing factories. They can't manufacture cars. But they have developed their own sector out of their own sweat and their contribution without assistance by any government. To be where they are. And there's only one sector in this country that we can say this is the broad-based Black economic sector. It's the taxi industry. And we shouldn't be providing a lip service to the taxi industry. And we also should not be delaying a process of developing them instead of assisting them to develop fast and operating the main economic stream. Through this taxi industry, we can transform the economy of South Africa. And that is very, very true. Anyone can argue anything. If the taxi industry doesn't go to the filling station, most of the filling stations would close down. If the taxi industry doesn't buy those kombis, most of the car manufacturing plants would close down. So that is how serious this industry is, and we shouldn't be paying lip service to it. That's all that I'm saying. So EBEE, to me, should not be having a department or a smaller yana corner where it operates from. It should be integrated because it is the tool for transformation of the economy in the country. Mr. Van der Meer.
Thank you, Chair. There's a kind of a few questions. We have a, in terms of the shareholding of the members, we have hundreds of subcontractors and suppliers
to have an independent socioeconomic monitor that monitors exactly that, what the ownership is. I apologize, I'll get them to send the
next Mr. Van der Merck, no. I think this question was asked before I became a chairperson. And it has been asked when I was the chairperson and you committed in submitting it through my office. I have not received it. And today the question is being raised with the expectation that you are going to actually mention the names of the company and how the shareholding is split. Not to say there are subcontractors, there are what, we know that. It's a general answer.
Yeah.
Please, 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 please. Give us the specific response.
Okay, I'm sorry. We will give you the full response. The only thing is that we have an independent socioeconomic monitor that does exactly that. So it's a very thick report, and I undertake to have it in your office.
We read much thicker reports. Because we read the laws that were even passed in 1942. So there is no thick report for us. Mr. Van der Merwe, are you respecting this committee as Parliament of the Republic of South Africa?
Yes, sure.
But why would it take us such a long time to get a specific answer from your office?
Chair, I've asked the Independent Socioeconomic Monitor to forward the information. I can't give you answer now, but I will give you answer by the end of the week and supply you with all the information.
No, what I'm asking is your behavior, your attitude towards the committee. I'm not now asking for the information. The question is about whether you respect this committee as Parliament of the Republic of South Africa, or it is just another structure.
No, Chair, I really respect this committee as representing the government. There's no doubt about it.
And Parliament is the highest decision-making structure of this country. So if the highest decision-making structure of this country can be ignored, what does that tell of us?
My apologies. I'll look at what has happened with the information going to the Parliament, but it is really not being disrespectful to this institution. I can only give my word for that.
By when can we have that information?
By Friday, by the 12th of March.
Thank you for that. Your question cannot be responded to, Honourable Farrow, because there was a an attitude towards the committee. Maybe they thought that we are playing. We are only committing to a specific date today. And we'll see to it that we get that report on the 12th. Thank you. You can then proceed and respond to other questions.
The next question was around 125 buses. The question was, were they integrated into the city? We applied for permits. We are, and it actually covers the face of this question. The head of the transport section in Johannesburg is Lisa Sestol. We have sat down with Lisa Sestol. We've redesigned the routes. Remember, when we did the SO train, there were no BRTs. We have actually taken the BRT route into consideration. So I'm competing on that. We've changed the route that the buses are going to run. So there is really a full cooperation between the host train and the different centers. So there's no... The next question we'll ask is, in our new buses being procured for the Soccer World Cup, this is just operational spending. It's got nothing to do with purchasing. So it's in any case related to purchasing. So these are existing buses which we actually increased the units with that from the OT. If we would go out on tender, same day, they went out on tender for the national buses, and we went out for the leagues that I showed on the board, and so it's for existing buses in the system. The question around the claim, I read in the newspaper, Chair, that there is a 10 billion rand claim that's coming. I really can't comment on something that's coming. What I can say is that if, and the newspapers say that the claim is because they were delayed, if you get delayed on the construction, you will see it in the payment of the milestone. It will reflect. If you can't do your work, you won't be able to do your milestone. 10 billion rand is an incredible amount of money. The concessionaire, the contractor, has received 90-91% of the milestone that he said he would achieve. So there is a question of a 9% where they are, you know, where are they behind. But this 10 billion rand would have made them 80% behind. So really, I cannot have any comments around this claim until I've actually seen it. The next question was around the Dolomite and Centurion. If you in Johannesburg and you want to get to Tshwane, you'll go through the Dolomite. You have no choice. Otherwise, you'll have to go via, I don't know, Dalsford to get to it. You aren't going to get to Tshwane without going through the Dolomite. When Cronin was the chairman of this committee, they did come and have a look in the Centurion area. Okay, if you stand at the Victoria Station, if you go by Metro Rail, you aim at Germiston. If you stand at the Victoria Station, you go over the coast road, you aim at Johannesburg. So at Victoria, the two lines are linked, and then they open up. One of the suggestions was that we take the railway line out of Centurion and put it on the side of Centurion. We did the best case, we did write the report. And it doesn't make sense. And the argument is say that if you're on the metro rail train and you're at Centurion, you want to get from the Sotra, 10 kilometers earlier, you were at Pretoria Station, and the two trains were standing next to each other. So if you wanted to get on the Sotra, get on to Pretoria, you won't wait to get to Centurion. So that issue is really being resolved as the contractor. The route that the contractor is taking through Centurion was a variation that he himself proposed. Can't now come and say that it's a wrong method. The next question that members fellow asked is that could the contractor hold up in transit and not open the system for the soccer World Cup? There's nothing on the card. I think it's totally unlikely that something like that would happen. The question that member de Freitas asked is that what happens if there's no ridership? We've done every study that is available in the world about what the ridership would be. All that I'm saying is that when we did the ridership study, fuel cost 4 rand a litre. Now it's cost 8 rand a litre. So there is a move towards private car use getting more expensive. At the moment, the committee is aware of the fact that the South African National Roads Agency is during the freeway improvement scheme in April next year, that freeway improvement scheme has to be starting to be, has to be paid back. The loan starts to be paid back. Sunrail will charge 50 to 60 cents per kilometer toll on every freeway in Gauteng. It means that if you live in Tshwane and you work in Johannesburg or vice versa, the toll will be 1,000 rand a month to get in the post every month. So I don't think there is a possibility that we won't get the ridership. But if we don't get the ridership, we have a ridership guarantee which kicks in, and we will then have to look at the project as it stands. But here, in less than a year, the doors of the train will be open, and then we'll see, then we'll go from a theoretical modeling to actually using on the train. So, and then again, the coordination, I really think that the coordination is happening between the train and the various government bodies. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I think that some of these issues will be followed up during the strategic planning workshop, as well as our further engagement. We will look at a follow-up meeting with Gautrain when we have received the report. And we are also going to undertaken oversight in relation to transport in 2010, so that we would ascertain ourselves as to whether we are ready or not. I think the department has been to respond to us and explain how the taxi industry is going to be benefiting from 2010, because that question was not responded to.
Thank you, Chair. Just to provide an update quickly on that, we've put out a tender in terms of spectator transport for 2010. And in that tender, we had an operational plan which incorporated the use of 890 taxis. The tender's closed. We're in the process of evaluating right now. We're hoping by next week, Friday, our BIDCOM would make a decision. So we have created that use of 890 taxis, and it focuses mainly on intercity, from one city to the other. In terms of intra-city, travel within the city, each city actually has its own plan, and I don't know the details because I don't deal with it, but I do know that those plans encompass the use of taxis.
Okay. That's we will be following that up to actually see as to whether there has been a benefit to the people of this country who have been involved in the taxi industry, or companies, again, well-established companies would come in and tender. The other issue that we shall be following up is the issue of manufacturing, because there is a lot of procurement that relates to transport, especially the buses, that does not accommodate people and does not encourage the establishment of a local manufacturing industry in South Africa. And we're hoping that transport would push for that, because there are lots of good parts that could be manufactured in South Africa that are used by the transport industry, so that we are able to open job opportunities in South Africa other than the current ones that are there. I thought Mr. Taibo should have
something. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, for record purposes, I want this to be noted, that as the taxi industry, we have not been engaged and we are not involved. We don't even know what role are we going to play in 2010. So people should not come here and say there's a role which will be played by the taxi industry. I've written a letter about a week ago to the minister, whereby I'm asking the minister to come out clear about the role the taxi industry will be playing. That letter has not been responded to. Yesterday I wrote to him and I said to him that we are giving him 7 days to respond to that letter. So people should not come here and lie about the involvement of the taxi industry in the 2010. We are not involved.
Sorry, Chair, just to respond, and
are you responding on behalf of the minister?
No, in terms of the tender and Santaco's involvement, one of the tenders that was put forward, one of the bidders actually indicated in their bid that they have engaged with Santaco, and their bid is a joint one where they will be using Santaco. So
we have heard of those bids in the past where people would say, in this bid, I am working with SACO, I am working with NOM, I am working with the old age home, and such a place. We know the window dressing kind of thing. So I think SANTACO is big enough to represent itself than to be represented by another bidder who is saying we are working with SANTACO. No, let's not debate that here. See, we are not adjudicating any tenders, but all I was responding to was we have heard of those things in the past, and we know how such things happen. And we are saying SANTACO is a well-known organization that has the capacity of representing itself. If anywhere, it doesn't need to be represented. But
there's just one appeal, and I think I mentioned this last, the last presentation too. So it's concerning me no end, and it's been raised here again today. This whole issue of the operating license permit, we had regulations came out during December, which I don't think anybody fully really realized the impact of out of the NLTA, and we have to get that sorted out. We cannot go into World Cup knowing that there are still semi-legal or something or part-legal type operators that should have had licenses and permits issued many, many years ago. We can't have buses operating here running around with tourists and people that have not had all the criteria relating to those permits and applications resolved and issued properly. It is a very worrying factor. We've got 2,035 buses that have been bought in on the transfer contract. There's 125 of the Caltrain buses that have been brought in. And, you know, these actual applications historically are taking 18 months to resolve. Now, there's a massive amount of capital that comes in that needs to get this thing fast-tracked. And I really believe someone must come and tell us what's happening here within the next meeting. I can't see us going beyond that, knowing that there's only 95 days to sort all this little problem out. And the role in particular in terms of how that taxi industry and SANTACO are going to be playing in this whole transportation nightmare. Thank you.
I think we were supposed to have had that presentation on the meeting that was scheduled for the second. If then the committee agrees, can we add that presentation on March the 16th? Is that okay? Okay. Because it was left out when the notice of the meeting and also inviting the entities, the invitation to the entities was sent out. So we will add the national land transport.
I thought that there were two major issues for me in the meeting. The first is the participation of SANTACO in 2010. From this meeting, it is clear that participation is not there. You can't get hold of it the way it is happening now. And I was suggesting, Chair, that the department meet with SANTACO at least in the next 21 days to discuss that particular issue. That's the first thing. The second thing is around the NJWG. I'm just disappointed that it doesn't seem to me, Chair, that the department is leading the process. It seems to me that the department is waiting for something. It's not leading. And to me, the department should be leading. First, the department should be leading in putting proposals on the five subcommittees, particularly on the national framework agreements, issues that should be agreed upon, on the BRT, on the enterprise development, on taxi subsidies, on regulation and licenses, on communication. To me, there should be proposals already on the table put by the department to say, stakeholders, you are invited to input on these national framework agreements. In each of the subcommittees. And it should be that, you know, meetings are supposed to be convened to discuss this. And to me, Chair, I was also proposing that at least in the next 21 days, the NJWG should be convened by the department to put forward the issues that need to be negotiated upon by the parties. And in that meeting also to agree, you know, on a program of meetings. To me, there should be a program of meetings for the subcommittees and a program of meetings for the NJWG itself. And the department must lead the process. It must not wait.
I asked a question about Housing Public Transport Committee. That where is the representation of the civil society or the participation of the taxi industry itself? And I've asked the team, they're not participating. I don't know whether the Gautrain doesn't need the civil society and the taxi industry participating in that Gautrain train. Public Transport Authority. They are looking at the wider consultation, you know, from the outside and particularly in consultation. But I agree that we are in the process when we develop the Gautrain project, we set up with a taxi civil society. Now that we're going to start operating it, we're going to do exactly the same. So it is on the cards. It will come.
So just to indicate that we have noted all the issues that have been raised, concerns that have been raised by the portfolio committee as well as Santaco, and we will meet with our principal and inform them, and also the concern that you raised about Johnson is not being here, and I'm sure there will be a formal response.
I'm sure we will all understand why it is important for structures to participate. The protests that we see that are violent are sometimes as a result of suppression of a voice and consultation with people that you're supposed to consult with. I just want to end it. In some situations, it is not a situation of a service. It is a situation of people being ignored and their views not taken on board. And consultation is very, very important. Thank you. I think that's a little. Yes, sir?
You typically, just two technical things. We haven't approved our minutes, so we could do that at the next meeting. But there are a few other minutes that we haven't approved. So maybe our new.
Yes.
And then also, as soon as you have the date for our oversight, if you could let us know as well for our plan. And maybe next time you can introduce our new lady.
No, this is a caretaker. Community session tab. The port is being advertised.
Yeah.